The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chiefs on the doorsteps of history. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We're live from New Orleans, been here all week, and I can't believe it's Wednesday already. The week is flying by, and as we get closer and closer to the game, you have to imagine, maybe not the nerves for Patrick Mahomes, because he seems as calm and cool as ever, but you know, the magnitude of what's at stake sports-wise in this Super Bowl, Perloff, with, you know, being able to even be in the same conversation as Tom Brady by virtue of winning three in a row.
Oh, my God. I think even if he loses this game, he's in the conversation with Tom Brady. Here's one thing. He's not getting to seven. So let's just start. I really believe that. Even if they three-peat and set history, you can have the GOAT debate all you want. Seven is crazy because Andy Reid said yesterday in his press conference, I am coming back next year, but implied like it is now a year-to-year project. Mm. Like they are not going to be able to keep this core together. Travis Kelce has to age. Chris Jones is going to turn 30. At some point, the fact that the Patriots were able to reinvent a champion, I don't think there's any guarantee that Patrick Mahomes is going to be able to do that. So Brady is always going to have this ring advantage, and that will always be one of two things. That will always be his advantage in the GOAT debate and the fact that he beat Mahomes twice.
Right, right. Okay, those once in the AFC Championship game, once in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think that seven rings, like, it is going to be hard for Mahomes to match that achievement.
Okay, so here's like maybe an overarching question. If you're just looking at these two quarterbacks and you're looking at their resumes, what do you think is harder to do? Is it harder to three-peat, like what Mahomes is attempting right now, or is it harder to win seven Super Bowls over a 23-year career, which is what Brady had the whole total? He won seven Super Bowls in basically 19 years, right? Because he didn't play the first year of his career, and then the last two seasons they didn't win. So basically, yeah, like 7-19 or a three-peat, what's the harder thing to do?
I think 7-19 because everybody has a peak. Like, who's got three peaks in their career? Nobody except Brady. That's not even, no one's even close.
Right. Okay. I'm going to disagree. I actually think the three-peat is harder because even Brady couldn't do it. And there's so many different reasons why these dynasties could never actually pull off what the Chiefs may pull off on Sunday. And it's all the things that get in the way, which is, you know, you slip a little bit and now all of a sudden you have to go on the road. Like, that's what happened with Tom Brady, right? They had won two in a row early in his career. And then all of a sudden they had to go on the road in Denver, of all places. Brady had a pretty bad game, threw two picks, and they get beat by Jake Plummer and the Denver Broncos, who end up going on to lose to the Steelers. You know, it's like, you have what happened with the Cowboys in the 90s, which is coach and owner can't get on the same page, fighting for credit, egos. You have like what happened with the Steelers. Guys retired in the, you know, going back now in the 70s. Guys got older. Guys retired. You know, even going back to the Packers with Vince Lombardi, he retired. The coach retires. You know, you have.
They won a ton in a row, though.
No, but in the Super Bowl era, two in a row. It's like the thing is that it could never three-peat.
They three-peated twice, though.
But not in the Super Bowl era.
Right, right, right. But anyway, like, the Packers are an exception. So in the day, you used to be able to do that, and that's actually a factor. It's not the first three-peat. The Packers have three-peated as champions.
We're talking about Super Bowl era. So I think we all like agree it's Super Bowl era.
Well, I'm just trying to
throw a little cold water on my argument.
No, I'm just trying to win my argument here. But I'm mentioning the Packers three-peated twice. Go ahead. Okay. Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying.
Well,
yeah.
But here, it's like there's always something that gets in the way.
Yes.
And if the Chiefs are the first team that allow none of that to get in the way, in the salary cap era, in an era of free agency, all of that, I think that it is the harder thing to do. Now, Brady's longevity is unreal. I disagree by saying staunchly the Mahomes will never win seven. I don't think we can say that definitively yet. If he wins this one and he's got four before the age of 30, I mean, you can't count him out. But the thing to me is the Chiefs have already kind of reinvented themselves even a little bit along the way, getting rid of Tyreek Hill, letting go of, you know, guys who were mainstays earlier in the dynasty. And it doesn't seem to affect them. They lose offensive coordinators. You know, I know Andy Reid calls the plays. They lose coaches on the offensive side.
But they might lose Andy Reid.
But when? Like, he says that that he's coming back for next year. You think that means we're now on a year-to-year? We've been on a year-to-year with Andy.
I had no idea. I had no idea that this was a topic until he talked about it yesterday.
Maybe I think he was probably asked about it. I don't think he brought it up.
Right. I didn't even know people were asking him about that. So I saw the headline, Andy Reid said he's going to coach for at least next year. I'm like, what? I actually thought Beast Belichick is way older than Andy Reid, and he's already... he's starting over as a college coach. So I think
Pete Carroll.
First of all those reasons you said, I was just like, wow, that's even if they three-peat, all that's going to happen to them, like age, coaching changes, losing Spagnuolo at some point. They're lucky that he sticks around. Like, there are so many impediments. So even if they three-peat, my point is, wow, it's going to be hard to get to seven.
But they would have gotten the three-peat. Right. And they would have stamped their, made their stamp on the NFL. Right. So we're asking you, what's harder to do? Yeah. What Tom Brady did, which is winning 7 Super Bowls in 19 years, or is it Patrick Mahomes with a three-peat?
Well, I think the other real important part is who are the foils? Tom Brady was in an NFL with Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, a lot of like all-timers. Now, Mahomes has faced Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, which are great.
Yeah.
But he's also like his Super Bowl wins are two, one over Jimmy G, one over Brock Purdy, and two over Jalen Hurts. That's not exactly Terry Bradshaw outdueling Roger Staubach.
Well, I mean, you play who you play.
Like, yeah, you play.
What is he going to do? Like, you can't help it.
I'm just saying, like, Brady could make an argument that he, and I don't know that sure this is true. Like, he whooped on Philip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, Peyton Manning for a long time. Mahomes will have the Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson thing, but I'm not sure that that's quite the same. That is TBD.
Well, I mean, yeah, it depends on what we're going to look back on, which quarterback era. Don't forget about Joe Burrow. You're forgetting about Burrow.
Burrow beat him,
and Burrow is also a top quarterback.
Yeah, didn't make the playoffs this year. That's why I forgot about him.
Yeah, because of his defense. But, then you look at who Brady beat in Super Bowls, though. I mean, again, you beat who you beat. I can't get...
He beat Jake Delhomme, baby.
Well, that's...
He beat
Jake
Kurt
Delhomme
Warner.
And Donovan McNabb.
Yeah,
McNabb's pretty good. He beat Kurt Warner. That was a big one.
Right, he beat the greatest show on turf. Then he beat a guy named Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, but Jared Goff.
Yeah, well, that one wasn't great. Russell Wilson, prime, a Hall of Famer. You're right. You play who's in front of you. But Mahomes' Super Bowl opponents certainly are a lot to work on legacy-wise.
855-212-4227.
By the way, they have
that
not...
poll up too?
They have... They're also, one thing about this topic that bothers me, they have not three-peated. You know, there's a guy named Jalen Carter who could stand in the way.
We'll see.
Yeah,
a couple Jalens could stand in the way.
When you were saying that, it was interesting to me. I was thinking, like, oh, man, all those reasons you just said give me hope that the Eagles are going to win this game. It's so darn hard to three-peat.
Okay, but I'm sorry. I got more cold water to pour on you. Yeah. None of those teams that were in the past that were even going for a three-peat even made the Super Bowl again. Mm. So the fact that the Chiefs are here means they've already defied the odds and put themselves in a place that the Patriots have never been, the Cowboys, San Francisco 49ers, Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, go down the list.
Yeah, I mean, what happened to everybody? Eventually, what happens to all these great teams is salary cap problems. So the Patriots had to get rid of Richard Seymour. They had to get rid of Asante Samuel, Ty Law, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The Chiefs are having the same problem. Now, they did obviously cobble together a championship team, but they're getting hurt. Like, I don't think this Chiefs team is as good as even the 2019 team. I think their defense is great, but, again, like, they're going to have the same problem. Like, you don't think their personnel, they struggle? Like, they have to let a lot of good guys out of that building. And I know that—
They went 15-2 this year.
Yeah.
And they basically went 15-1. Because they just, mailed in the last game.
Yeah, but are they, but they're not beating teams like they used to whoop on teams. They used to run up and down the field on them. There are a lot of close games in there. And, yeah, I do not think this Chiefs team is impressive. Their point differential is way, way down to where it used to be, which is awesome. I give them all the credit in the world.
They win close games.
Yeah, I mean.
17 in a row, one score games.
Are they going to do that? Are they going to be able to do all that without Steve Spagnuolo down the road? Are they going to be able to do that without Andy?
And here's the thing. Steve Spagnuolo was in this hiring cycle. Didn't get hired.
Because he's still coaching. I think he's got to lose earlier and get more interviews. If he wins this
Super
Bowl, there is no way a team is not going to hire him. If he puts some blitz on Jalen Hurts, like, he's got to get a job.
I don't think so. 855-212-4227. I don't think so.
Oh,
he would have been
God.
Hired already. How many Super Bowls do you have to win? I mean, this is crazy.
Well, I think he's just I think it's not ideal to be. Look how annoying it is for Kellen Moore. Like, the Saints have had to wait a month. So I just think that he's got to lose earlier.
Let's go to the phones, shall we? We're here on Radio Row in New Orleans at the Convention Center, but we can still talk. Let's chat. Brad's in Alabama. Hey, Brad, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, somebody in the crew needs to go down to Royal Street to Cafe Beignet and pick Miss Maggie up some beignets this morning, guys.
I know. Mm. You know what they... So we're lucky. We're staying at... our hotel has a nice breakfast buffet that we've only been able to eat at once because of the time of the show. But...
I've eaten there twice.
Farlow's been there every day.
Yeah, I'm about to go.
He's actually back there making omelets for people. They have beignets on the breakfast bar, and I haven't done it yet. I know.
Nice. So you're 75 miles from Amite City. You're 120 miles from Petal, Mississippi. What, you're less than 200 miles in Houston. All these Eagles players are coming home to win a championship, Maggie.
Because
it is harder to three-peat than win seven in 19 years. I mean, there's 22 people on the field, and Jalen Carter out of Georgia, they all know how to eat crawfish, Maggie. Spicy.
Brad, I'm so glad you brought this up. So my first time eating crawfish yesterday, never got the hang of it. I'm struggling. Brad, do you understand how much shell I consumed yesterday? I kept eating the shells because I couldn't get the crawfish out. I looked like
push the bottom of the tail up. You got to push the bottom of the tail. That's where you pinch and push it out. You got to push it out, Maggie. Go ahead.
I figured it out, and Maggie could not.
I couldn't.
She asked me what my technique was. You're exactly right. You push the bottom of the tail.
But I was like peeling it like a shrimp, and that, I think, was a major, major obstacle.
Error.
Yeah. Then you got it in your own head. Yeah, and basically,
split them, push them, suck them.
Yeah.
Split them, push them, suck them. That's it. Yeah. Boom.
The pressure got to Maggie. After like the fifth one that wasn't breaking properly, you were pressing way too hard.
I was thinking about just push them in my mouth and then just, eating
chewing
the entire shell with the tail. I don't know. The other part, too, is, Brad, they gave us some gloves to start out. That was a mistake. You can't do anything with those gloves.
I was gonna keep my glove on, but then when you took the gloves off,
I dropped the gloves.
Not just metaphorically, but literally took them off. Then I had to. Except you had an injury situation.
I did. So Perloff went for mild spice, and I went with the waitress's recommendation to go Cajun medium. You went Cajun mild. I went with the recommendation. I've never done it before. I didn't realize I had a paper cut.
Mm-hmm.
And all the seasoning was just getting right in the cut. I'll take your thoughts and prayers.
It's the number one issue for crawfish challenges.
Paper cuts?
Yeah.
I mean, and getting the shell off. I just couldn't, squeeze. Anything I say is going to sound really weird. Your technique, when you ripped off the head, you were really going after that part, too.
Yeah, I heard the locals suck the juice out of the head, so I had to do that.
Yeah, I did a couple times. But
I ate a few eyeballs by accident.
Yeah, you ate a couple
eyeballs. No problem
with
that.
Were they squishy?
No, they were more like capers. They were...
Squeeze down and they burst?
Yeah.
like a Roma tomato, a cherry tomato?
No, I don't know if I ate an eyeball. I just felt like... I was so far ahead, but I was still flying, and there's going to be pictures of me with sauce all over my face, which were... totally disgusting. But you know what else? The antennas.
Yeah.
The antennas were a bit of a problem.
And those little legs that are on the bottom, I was eating those too.
Oh, I missed the legs. Well, also, you would stop if there was a crawfish that was abnormally sized.
Yeah.
You would stop and talk about it for 5 minutes. You're like, do you see how big this crawfish is?
Well, I didn't really. Every once in a while, I'd get it looked like a lobster.
And you name them and talk about them.
I felt like we were back at the alligator farm.
Yeah.
It's Richard. You were overly excited about the larger crawfish.
Yeah, I'm like, let's name this one Joe Burrow. No one wanted to do that again. 855-212-4227. Yeah, I guess... eating crawfish the first time, not easy. And then we're asking you the question, what is harder to do? What Tom Brady did in his career, which was 7 Super Bowls in 19 seasons, or is what Patrick Mahomes is attempting to do? And if he does it, would this be the most, the hardest thing, a three-peat, something no one has been able to do? Give us a call, 855-212-4227. Coming up next, the vibes in one locker room. We go straight to the source. We're going to do that next. M&P. Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. Well, this one actually, our YouTube chat was begging for the return of Spike Eskin, who has now graced the set, our former boss, and now the afternoon host on WIP. I would say you go back to Philly and good things happen, but the Eagles were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, so I can't really give you they full were. Credit.
And the Phillies were in the World Series the year after I left. So,
mixed bag.
Know. Yeah.
But how are the vibes in Philly right now? How's the confidence level?
Confidence level is high. You know, there are two confidence levels in Philadelphia. Everything is going to go wrong, and there is like chesty, no one is ever going to beat us, you know?
Yeah, that sounds like Philly.
It's sort of like, I guess going from like, woe is me, Bills fan, to what's going to go wrong next, to like Red Sox fan is like, we're just like, or Patriots fan, you know, those are the two vibes, and they are, everybody in Philly is the chesty vibe right now.
Oh, so, I love it.
Are you with them?
No. I mean, I think the team's great, and I think they had an amazing year. But I do not look at this game and say, well, of course we're the better team. You know, the Chiefs lost one game, essentially, this year. You know, so they're going for the third straight title. They might have the best quarterback and best coach of all time. So, you know, I'm glad we were good this year, but there is a real challenge ahead of us.
So Maggie and I had a disagreement. She said, basically, if the Eagles win this game, they're going to say it was very special to us to end the three-peat, to stop the Chiefs from getting history. I get this weird vibe, but you know much better, that the Eagles and their fans are oblivious to the Chiefs. It feels like, I feel like they're not obsessed with the rivalry with the Chiefs, because a lot of people still like Andy Reid, they're not the Cowboys. I don't feel like they're defining themselves as a foil to the Chiefs so far. At least I haven't heard that.
I think that is a fair assessment, actually. I tried to say, you know, for me, the thing that is meaningful about it is, and I like Andy Reid. I think he's a great coach, and I like what he did in Philadelphia. But it's sort of pathetic when the best coach in your team's franchise history didn't win a Super Bowl with you. So, and you've won a Super Bowl, and it's just like kind of weird. So I don't want Andy Reid to make history at the expense of the Philadelphia Eagles. The three-peat, two of them are against the Eagles. So for that reason, I see it as, you know, preventing history. Mm. But I don't feel this rivalry with the Chiefs. Like, I actually don't feel personally the Chiefs, you know, the tediousness that everybody else feels, like sick of it, blah, blah. Doesn't bother me. They don't bother me in the way that other dynasties have. Mm. So I would lean toward you being right. I think it's more about the Eagles to people in Philadelphia and less about the Eagles and the Chiefs.
I was saying, wait until the post-game interviews. If they're popping champagne in the locker room, I think you're going to get and everyone thought they were going to get the three-peat on us. I think you'll get it after the fact, not before. Spike Eskin is joining us. He's the host of Afternoons on WIP, Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Also writes to Ricky Sanchez podcast. Got to say the name. We're talking about the Eagles. We're also having a bit of a I would say disagreement about this, about the credit that Nick Sirianni would get if the Eagles win. Because I think there's a laundry list of people who will get the credit first. Howie Roseman, number one, your general manager. I think you'll go deep down the depth chart before we get to Sirianni. Now, full disclosure, I thought Sirianni was the first coach fired. He clearly is not that. You'll know more. Have people come around on Sirianni, or is he still someone who could be a space holder?
I think people have come around in Philadelphia, but I also think there is a part of them that is just waiting for him to screw something up and blame him for something. I personally have come around on him in a big way. I thought they should have fired him. I thought they put him in an unwinnable situation at the beginning of this year, like what he had to navigate. But the fact that he did navigate that, and the fact that there were three real opportunities for the Eagles to unravel this year, and every time the week of that game, they came together and an impressive win. And I think when you talk to players and when you listen to what they actually say, it's not just that they like him, right? They say things like, he holds us accountable, he makes sure of this, he makes sure of that. And everybody talks about their talent, which is great, but having too much talent can be difficult from the person in charge of managing those egos. I also think he is self-aware enough to know what he wasn't good at and what he needed to fix, at least from listening to him speak and a couple of interviews we did with him. So I've been very impressed by him. Now, I don't think people want to give him credit nationally or locally, right? You'll hear Vic Fangio, you'll hear Saquon, you'll hear Howie, you'll hear, look what Zach Bond did, Jalen Carter. There's a big list.
The rookies.
Yeah, and even when you looked at Coach of the Year stuff, they collapsed last year, and they were the... they were one game from the best record in the NFC, and he was 11th in Coach of the Year odds. It just says what people think of him.
What about Vic Fangio's terrible record against Patrick Mahomes?
Well, that terrible record came with the Broncos, who weren't very good, and the Dolphins, who weren't very good. I think he's, when you look at the ranks of his defenses in Chicago were the most talented and were also always top five defenses. And his Denver and Miami defenses were mid-teens. I think this is probably the most talented defense he's ever coached at this point, so I'm not too worried. And I would also guess Patrick Mahomes' record against every defensive coordinator is probably good. He wins almost all of his games, so I'm not too worried about that.
Spike Eskin joining us for a few more minutes. He's the host on WIP, the afternoon show, Ike, Spike, and Fritz with Ike Reese, and was our former boss, and we're glad to have him.
The good old days.
Okay, so this is maybe a little more summer content for you guys, but let's just play this out that you win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley and Philadelphia, Mount Rushmore of greatest athletes, or climbing up the ladder towards that. Obviously, there's people who played there much longer and won championships. I get it. He's not going to be Mike Schmidt, but still, like, where's Saquon right now?
Well, it's already the greatest single season offensive performance in Eagles history. Like, I don't... T.O.'s is up there, Wilbur Montgomery. Mike Quick, they all had great years. Shady had a great year. Never this year. He wins the Super Bowl, and he's like Super Bowl MVP or something. You might not be able to do the Mount Rushmore thing when that happens, because
he'll take all four spots.
Well, yeah, because I don't think people will be able to comprehend. If people were telling me, we love Mount Rushmores. We did it last summer, and people were telling me, like, had Bryce Harper on it over Mike Schmidt, and I'm like, all right, guys. He's the greatest third baseman of all time.
Did you have to tell people who Mike
is? But I think Saquon's season will go down in history as this season and this player as maybe the greatest in Philly sports history.
You better know, than Allen Iverson?
Well, I would...
Going to the...
I think so. I mean... He essentially would be the MVP. You know, for all, it's very hard for him to win the MVP, but also would have won
the title,
the big one.
Right.
Also, you know, I think he was a big part of changing the culture with the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't think Allen was that. I think there is, you know, Moses in 83 was a big,
Moses Malone, yep.
Pete Rose in 80, you know, these new guys that came and changed everything. It's way up there.
What do you expect if the Eagles did win? It was crazy how crowded the center part of the city was. Will it be almost dangerously the reaction?
I hope not. I mean, every time there's crowds like that in any city, something happens. You know, it was horrible. A Temple student died who was climbing one of those poles. And my hope is just that everybody is drunk and unruly, but not stupid.
In a ruly way.
Yeah. There was one video of a guy just shooting a gun in the air and nobody around him cared. Let me tell you, somebody shoots a gun in the air where I am at, you're going to see a spike sized hole in whatever wall.
Like, I don't know, Spike ran a 4.54.
So I don't know. I like to hope that, you know, goodwill and morals prevail, but who knows?
Well, it's a long way to actually get to that point.
Win first.
Yeah, win the game. Spike Eskin hosts afternoons WIP, Ike, Spike, and Fritz of the Rights to Ricky Sanchez pod. Say hi to everyone for us, okay?
Will do.
Let's get to Andrew Bogish, who's got headlines on this Wednesday. Hey, Bogues.
Maggie Perloff, their greatness apparently knows no borders.
Here's Brunson from three, knocks it down. Jalen Brunson from downtown extends the Knicks lead to six when the Raptors call timeout.
Kenny Albert on MSG TV. Jalen Brunson, 28 more points. Karl Anthony Towns with 27 plus 20 rebounds as the Knicks tariffed the Raptors in Toronto, 121-115. New York has won 8-10 overall and 8 straight against the Raptors. The Knicks, though, almost as hot as the Blazers, who hammered the Pacers last night, 112-89. That's 5 in a row. 9 out of 10 for Portland.
Did you say tariffed?
I did.
Okay, cool.
With Luka Doncic watching from the bench, the Lakers thumped the Clippers in their new building, 122-97. LeBron, 26 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists. The Celtics got a 112-105 win in Cleveland. And Joel Embiid back for now, 28 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists in his first game in a month, a 118-116 win. Sixer win over the Mavs. Dallas making another far less mega trade yesterday, sending Quentin Grimes to Philly for Caleb Martin. Grimes, the Mavs could not agree on an extension. Martin just began a four-year deal worth $35 million.
Bogus. You realize you're kind of ruining the Super Bowl buzz, because I had to listen on the back channels. Manny and EJ were just like, yeah, he's going to do it. He's going to do the Knicks highlight. Yes. They were so excited. It makes me hate the Knicks just because they were so happy about it. I mean, come on, folks. Now you have to keep the Knicks out of there. Even if they win the title, we can't talk about it. Because they want it too bad.
Yeah. The problem is, I forgot about this. Manny can see my script. And like a good board op, he scans it every hour to see if there's anything he can add to the fun and frivolity. But then he sees the Knicks stories, and they're prepared for them. It's not good.
Yeah, I'm good at my job.
Except for this one particular thing.
Why does my joy affect you, Perloff?
That's classic Philly.
Yeah.
No.
That's so Philly. And I keep saying with regards to the Super Bowl, I'm like, man, the Eagles stopping the Chiefs is such a big thing. You're like, no, I don't think so. Yet you don't want the Knicks fans to feel anything.
I don't care
for the New York Knicks.
Because I like the Chiefs. I don't care if they win. I don't want the Knicks to win. I don't want – and honestly, I don't want any of my coworkers to thrive. I don't want your Bills to win. That'd be annoying.
I know. I can tell
because
I'd be
jealous.
Picking them and you're a mush.
Yeah, off the air, you were like, hey, you guys should have had Xavier Worthy. That would have been good. I'm like, wow. I went to the heart.
No, I actually won a lot.
No, meanwhile, I said that on draft night and after the first game that the Chiefs played. And you're like, Xavier Worthy wasn't even that good. I'm like, what?
He's not that fast.
It's like Xavier Worthy, being gaslit by my own
co-host. Anyone can score that touchdown.
Xavier Worthy wouldn't even be on the field if Rashee Rice was healthy, by the way. He's okay.
Again.
Still doing it.
Yeah, still doing it.
I mean, he literally just said, I don't want any of my coworkers to thrive. Not like, I hope the Mets lose.
If my team wins, then fine. You can have some success. But I don't want my team to stink. And you guys, first of all, the Mets are the worst.
Well, we have a while to get to that.
No. Not moving on.
We got to wait till pitchers and catchers even get there.
Can
we
just Perloff.
No.
Do this as like a poll question or something like that? Like, would you rather have your team win or your friends and coworkers' teams lose?
Do you know how annoying it is? Everyone's talking football. And it's football all the time. Mahomes, Jalen Hurts. Ian Rappaport, rap sheet from NFL Network, walks by, and I had to listen to a five-minute Mets conversation with Maggie and Ian.
Listen,
I mean, this is
friends,
not fair.
We're
this
both
is,
Mets fans.
Yeah.
What am I going to talk to him about football? He talks about that all day.
I'm just saying, it's hard to stomach.
Also,
and you know what I mean.
Ian Rappaport, well, I was literally in the middle of an interview with him on radio when Francisco Lindor got traded to the Mets.
Ooh.
It happened while we were talking about football.
Did you just get up and leave and go through a cartwheel or something?
Yeah, I basically did. Let's not talk about baseball right now. The bigger issue is you would rather have our teams lose than your team win.
Honestly, it's...
That's a you problem.
No. But it's more consistent. It's more reliable that I'm going to get a Mets loss than a Phillies win. So
go, New York, go.
It's one way for me to get joy out of baseball is to watch the Mets spend all this money and implode.
Are there any Gators around?
take them back to the bayou.
And by the way,
seriously,
if you guys... You guys take
a swamp somewhere that we can dump the body?
I know it's 4-1 right now, but trust me, America's with me. They do not want the Mets
to
win either.
No, take that out of it.
3-2.
We're going global here.
Yeah.
It's just, would you rather your team win or your friends and coworkers' teams lose? That's it.
I think it does depend on the team, too. Like, I don't think... you know, it's funny. People are rooting so hard against the Chiefs. I think America roots against teams just like they root for. I think it's a big, big deal.
Mm, yeah, one's like... But one's personal. Like, you work with these people. You live with these people. Friends,
why
family
would you
members,
want,
coworkers.
Some teams aren't rivals. Like, Maggie's a Bills fan. That's nothing to do with the Eagles.
But why would you
want my team to win?
Why would you want your team to not get to the Super Bowl and have your coworker walk in, chest out, super excited? Like, why would anybody want that experience? If it just reminds you of your futility.
Well, that's a you thing, Pearl.
So
we're
going to
go. We're getting a you and you're acting like everyone thinks that.
Yes,
we can also be happy for the person that they get to watch their team.
What kind of sports fan would be? That is not how sports fans think. I don't think.
Not
I mean, if they're being honest.
Yeah.
Not,
this is the most Philadelphia thing Perloff's ever said. Which I appreciate, but it's very Philadelphia.
I don't know. I think I'm just the only honest one here. Like, if the Phillies won, my team won, nobody would be happy about
but
it.
That's a rivalry, though. That's
okay.
Nice. Different.
But no, okay, let's say, what's the team?
We were saying the Eagles and the Bills have no rivalry, and you wanted my team to lose because you didn't want me to have joy.
No, I wanted the Bills to go to the Super Bowl
and lose.
And lose. I
for maximum depression. No,
okay, let's put it this way: if the Eagles had lost to the Commanders in the early game in the NFC title game, I couldn't have handled the Bills winning. Like to see your joy
the
after
Commanders.
After
you realize
losing
what
as an
you're
underdog.
Disclosing here. Like you're a psycho.
No, I'm not. I'm this. Like, I think most sports fans are like me. I'm just the only honest person on this show.
EJ Pohl, are most people? Are most sports fans like Perloff?
And then that's
terrible.
Yes, most sports fans I know are like me.
I'm rooting for the Eagles.
Why do you think everyone on earth is rooting against the Chiefs?
Because they're sick of them.
Right.
Not because they that's it. And
nobody
and honestly,
wants to see other people's joy. That is like nobody's like I'm happy for
just
Kansas
clip
City.
That.
Yeah. No. Nobody wants to see other people's sports joy.
Who did this to you? Von Hayes? What's going on?
Oh my God. You guys, you really?
I blame Mitch.
Do you know how obnoxious I would be if
like Juan Sam?
Do you realize? Are you say this? And it's not, do you realize how difficult your lives will be, all of you, if the Eagles win on Sunday? It's gonna. I'm gonna be.
I want the Eagles to win.
I'm gonna be so obnoxious, you won't even believe it.
You're already obnoxious.
No, I know. That's my point. Man. If we beat the Chiefs, oh my God, you're gonna want to call in sick.
I know,
on Monday. I'm telling
okay,
you.
Okay, let's just everybody understand this conversation because when I said, "Do you think that the Eagles want to stop the three-peat?" Prof's like, no, you know, I think this is really just more about the Eagles.
The Eagles don't care about the Chiefs. The Eagles,
you
yes.
just said I'm going to be insufferable because...
No, because the Eagles won, not because they beat the Chiefs.
All you of just said that they beat the Chiefs.
No, because they won the Super Bowl. Oh, I'm okay. saying if they, because that's who they play on Sunday. If they had beaten the Bills, I'd be just as insufferable. No, I tell you, the Eagles are their own thing. I mean... trust me, you have to grease up the poles no matter who they're playing.
Well, that's for sure.
That's kind of gross. But anyway, you know what I'm saying.
This happened.
Hey,
this happened. Imagine someone just tuned in and found this radio station. It's like, what?
Yeah.
And all of that because of a Knicks highlight.
Yeah.
Trigger.
No, it wasn't the Knicks highlight. It was the background talk.
Jalen Brunson.
I am telling you right now, I am not in a minority of this. You're like, yeah, he's going to do the Knicks highlight. He's going to do the Knicks highlight. Come on. Who is rooting for that? Nobody.
This concludes Perloff's therapy session that he just had on the air. That's we just learned a lot about you. I don't think you realize how much you revealed.
What?
No, you always deny.
EJ knew this.
I'm not that surprised, I'll be honest. It's astonishing, but it's not surprising.
I've talked about this many times. Rooting against your coworkers is like one thing I've talked about for years. It's very natural.
I don't think so. I really don't. And it's one thing if it is a rivalry. It's a Cowboys, you know, Washington, or, you know, like Cubs, White Sox, whatever your rivalry is. But this, we've got nothing at stake here.
Like, I'm thinking about
it. It's not the Mets Phillies. This is Eagles Chiefs.
And we have, like, a lot of different coworkers. I'm thinking of every coworker we have, like Stu, who's you guys brought up for a long time. Like,
likes everybody, so that's hard
Yeah, that's a little weird. But still, though, like, I say, Raiders. Got Pete Carroll. Like, I'm happy for
or
him.
How about this? How about Notre Dame if they had won the national title? I think we all would have been happy for
Miami,
Stu.
And I'm a Miami fan.
And we don't even like Notre Dame.
I can't stand Notre Dame. Yeah. But for Stu, I said, Notre Dame, like, they look good. Like, I hope they win. Like,
let me just say one thing. I would heartily root for Stu Kovacs' team because he's such a nice guy.
No, you can't say that.
You just said that Maggie's nice because you would never root for the Bills.
Listen,
Stu's a bad
guy. As long as therapy says I was like, Stu's way nicer than all five of us right here. Like, we all root for Stu. We all, like, we're not in Stu's category.
Stu has less conviction than you. He changes teams faster than you do.
No, but I mean,
he
also.
He makes you look like you're the committed one.
Stu likes the Raiders. Like, how can you not root for that? I mean,
today he likes the Raiders.
But usually people do not root for Notre Dame. Like, that is a famous thing. Like,
yeah, I think that we found out a lot here. Perloff not secretly sending bad vibes towards everyone else's team.
No, I don't care. My team's still in it, but once we lose, I mean, come on. Forget. And the Knicks, I can't stand. I kind of root for
them. Okay, but here's the thing. Yes, there it is. I can't stand the Knicks until I get the courtside
seat. But
I
mean, by the way, and I got to tell you.
Philadelphia, something.
Yeah, Mikal Bridges somehow.
Philly. Yeah.
Anyway, enough Knicks talk. But this bigger question here is, sorry, Manny. Bigger question here is, are you actively rooting for your friends, family, and coworkers' favorite teams to fail?
If they're not the same team as yours.
I think that's implied, right?
Yeah, I know, but it's not a totally common situation. Like, if you're in Philadelphia, this is not a scenario you run into.
Right. Well, there's always that one Dallas Cowboys fan.
Yeah, and of course you root against him.
855-212-4227. I'm sorry, Bogus. Anything else there?
It doesn't matter.
I mean, that teaches you to put a Knicks highlight in the show.
Yeah, please.
Perloff can't handle it.
If I leave him out, my friends EJ and Manny death stare me. If I put it in, then I get yelled at by Perloff. There's no safe space here.
Excuse me?
Did the national anthem get booed again last night in Canada?
I think it did. I think so.
Oh, boy. All right, we're going to take a quick timeout. Lots more to do. Pick up a newspaper, Manny. Lots more to do, including a newspaper is this paper thing that has words printed on it. Manny is not...
Print journalism.
He's too young.
Those are lies, Maggie, not words. Those are lies.
In the era of the newspaper.
Printing machine?
Okay, we have lots more to do, including the coaching matchup in this Super Bowl, and one of our absolute favorites is going to join us at the top of the hour. The legendary Peter King. Don't move. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, live in New Orleans. It's Wednesday, which means excitement is definitely starting to ratchet up here, not just on this radio row, but throughout the city. Yesterday, I tried crawfish for the first time, and as we always do here on the Maggie and Perloff show, took it a little over the top. We never just do something like mid-level. It's always on a 10.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to food.
So we ate 100 crawfish.
Yep.
Did you have dinner afterwards? Because, by the way, it's hard to avoid crawfish for dinner. I opened a menu. I'm like, crawfish was all over it.
Yeah, so we have the video coming out maybe a little bit later today. But Perloff and I did a challenge of who could eat 100 crawfish faster. We'll save the results.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of crawfish. And even though there's not a lot of meat in every individual tail, they add up when you're really housing them. So I ended up having dinner, but a salad with no dressing.
Like a chicken salad?
I had a grilled chicken Caesar salad, hold the dressing.
So
like the plainest thing possible.
Yeah, I was going to take it easy. I had tacos, which had nothing to do with crawfish. But then I met some friends at a restaurant. And they had all these fried oysters and fried calamari, and they had crawfish etouffee and gumbo.
Did you go to town?
I ate all of it. You can't. No, the thing is, the sauces here in New Orleans kind of wear you down. They're so amazing, though. How can you possibly say no to those sauces?
I know. It's too good. Okay, so we know Andy Reid. I mean, probably eating well here. Sorry. Just pointing out the obvious. I was just trying to transition here to a coaching conversation.
Healthy Andy Reid now. He doesn't eat that stuff.
Sure. Okay, so Andy Reid probably having a good time in the city. But you were surprised that he had to answer a question yesterday that he was indeed coming back for another season. Now, I wasn't that surprised because he's a guy who's in his 60s, you know, heavier guy. I don't know if that plays into it, any health stuff. But I think, of course, he's year to year. Because if he wins this Super Bowl, and even without it, shoe-in Hall of Fame, walk-in Hall of Fame, and you got to have some kind of succession plan, do you not?
I mean, I guess so. Yeah, it just doesn't feel like he's anywhere. I was surprised because he's 66. He doesn't feel anywhere close to losing his fastball. That's why, like, there's no decline. Why on earth? I feel like he'd do it at least 8 more years.
I mean, I think he probably will, too. I just think this is something he's getting asked, but I think he's gonna hang on. And maybe Steve Spagnuolo leaves, and maybe Matt Nagy leaves, and maybe these guys leave, but who cares? As long as Brett Veach is there, the GM, Andy Reid, and Patrick Mahomes, I think even when Kelsey retires, I think they're going to be able to replace him in terms of how high his ceiling was, but they'll figure it out. They've done it every time to this point.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel like, you know, Reid is probably the key part of all this, more than Veach. Mahomes probably won, but Reid is close.
Mahomes definitely won.
Well, it's just kind of like... you're getting into Brady Belichick territory. Like, would Mahomes be Patrick Mahomes without Andy Reid?
I think so.
You think he could have?
I think if he was in Buffalo, the Bills would have won a Super Bowl already. I think if he was in Baltimore, they would have a Super Bowl. Okay, but I mean, maybe it may be a dynasty. Yeah, I think if he was in Baltimore, I think they would have won. If he was in Cincinnati, they would have won.
I mean, there are a lot.
He capitalizes on these opportunities. He always comes up big in the big moment. Yeah. Is that Andy Reid or is that Patrick Mahomes?
I see. That's funny. I think it's an Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes marriage because obviously Andy Reid has had so much success with so many different quarterbacks. Like, he turns every quarterback into something great. If Mahomes had gotten drafted by the wrong team, you have no idea.
Yeah, but he couldn't win with McNabb. You know? And yeah, but he turned, if you could win with anybody, then you would have won with
him. You got to four NFC title games with McNabb.
I know, but couldn't break through, right?
Right, but I mean, saying
what's the difference? Is it actually his better play calling? He was criticized for actually not, you know, being the smarter, more on top of it coach for those. Like, what changed?
Well, he's, I think he's
the ice in his veins quarterback.
Is he considered the best coach quarterback guy? I mean, he turned everybody into something. I mean, I'm not sure there's any who is even like that. McVay, I don't know, Shanahan, like Kyle Shanahan and Mike Shanahan, but Andy Reid touches a quarterback and he's awesome automatically.
That's fantastic, and I understand what you're talking about, but I think coaches a lot of times are judged by Super Bowls. You can just see how the Hall of Fame sees guys who go to multiple Super Bowls and lose, you know, like the Dan Reeves and guys like that who don't get in. But I think Andy Reid, like the biggest change from coming up short in these big games to now dominating in these big games and seems like winning all these close games is Mahomes.
Yeah, but I think Mahomes gets drafted by the wrong team. I have no idea what happens. I really believe that. And same, because Tom Brady, obviously the GOAT, he said, if I got drafted by Arizona, I'd be out of the league.
Yeah, but Tom Brady didn't have the same physical gifts that Patrick Mahomes does. You know, Brady needed this. I'm not doing your Brady system quarterback thing because he was so great in big moments. But Brady doesn't have nearly the arsenal in terms of physical gifts that Mahomes has. He's a much, I think we can all say, like, Mahomes is probably a more talented quarterback. Brady just maximized every moment of his career.
But is he so talented? I mean, like Brady, his brain is his biggest weapon. Is he so talented that he could have done this? I mean, is he more physically gifted than Lamar Jackson?
Well, maybe not Lamar, but I think, like, Aaron Rodgers. Yeah.
I mean, Rodgers is quite physically gifted.
That's like, what I'm saying. I think that Mahomes is as physically gifted as Rodgers, and he's got that winning.
No, I'm saying like Lamar
that stuff in the great moment, like Brady.
Right. Well, like those guys, whatever reason, like if Aaron Rod, you know, you're right. Mahomes might have won a Super Bowl in Buffalo or Baltimore. Those are really good teams.
Yeah.
But I think Aaron Rodgers probably would have won with Andy Reid, like a bunch more. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers had gone to KC in 2017 or something, with the level of talent, like, maybe he wins more. And I do think Reed matured as a coach, like, but he's really good with quarterbacks. So I think it's the marriage more than, and I kind of thought the same thing about Brady and Belichick, that it was really the combo of the two. I don't think you can separate it.
Yeah, 855-212-4227. Pine Needle is in the chat. He's with you. If Mahomes were in any other system, he would not have won any Super Bowls. It's Andy Reid. I mean, just strong disagree. And the other part about this is I think when Andy Reid does retire, I think Mahomes is going to continue to win. And I, you know, Brady won a seventh Super Bowl with Bruce Arians, but at that point, Brady was 42. I mean, he was his own coach, I think, at that point.
That was amazing.
But I think Mahomes continues to win even when Andy Reid hangs it up. Say that's in 3 years, five, eight, you said. I think Mahomes, like, as long as he's healthy, there's more winning.
I thought Andy Reid could go to eight until I heard that answer yesterday. Now it seems like it's on his mind. If he three-peats, I guess it's also a matter of, like, what does he have left to prove? If he say he won four in a row, at a certain point, he could walk off more easily.
Yeah, I think there's a part of Andy Reid. I think he will coach until someone tells him, hey, it's time. Because I don't think he will ever voluntarily take himself off the sidelines. I think he's one of those guys like Belichick or a lot of these dudes. No, I don't think he's got many hobbies. I don't think that he really, you know, I don't think he could relax. I think he's always football.
You know, but he doesn't have the same intensity of Belichick. Like Bill Belichick.
That we see.
Yeah, I don't know.
Behind the scenes, I think he's holding guys accountable for sure.
He just seems a little more laid back than Belichick to me.
Well, I mean, brick wall seems more laid back than Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I just feel like you said that he doesn't have any other hobbies. Like Bill Belichick really didn't have any other hobbies.
I think of like Jimmy Johnson, you know, like Jimmy Johnson going to the Florida Keys and just fishing.
Yeah, no, he's not
like,
that either.
Seems like that's right.
I don't know. There seems like something like Andy Reid seems a little more settled in who he is right now. Mm-hmm. Bill Belichick always felt like he had to prove something. I don't get that with Andy Reid. But I mean, honestly, he's 66. There also is the reality. If you hit 70 as a coach, it's a lot of work. I'm sure that he's considering, like, man, do I want to keep doing this?
You know, we'll get the thoughts of our next guest on Coach Andy Reid, and that would be one of our favorites, the ultimate NFL writer, and that's Peter King. He will join us next. We'll get his thoughts on Reid, his thoughts on Mahomes versus Brady, and what the Eagles have at stake in this Super Bowl. It's Maggie and Perla from New Orleans.